If you found your place, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, would you stand with me as we honor reading the Word of God together? If you don't have a Bible, I think there's a pew Bible. Or if you're a member and somebody next to you doesn't have a Bible, hand them your Bible and or read with them there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul says here in writing this book, says in verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong," chapter 2, verse 1, "in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou," listen to me, "to them," listen now, "to men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore," listen to it carefully, "endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Father in heaven, help me. Lord God, I want to be a blessing to the people that are here today. But more than that, Lord, I believe there are some here today that don't know if they were to die right here in this room today. God forbid. But they don't know for sure where they'd spend eternity. They don't know if it would be heaven or hell. And Lord, before they leave here today, help them not leave with a doubt. Help them leave with assurance that they know, that they know, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior, and heaven, as we sung a moment ago, is their eternal home. And then, Lord, speak to all of us. This is the great country we live in. We've gone through a lot of presidents. We've gone through a lot of leadership. Lord, what we need to do is just keep our heart and our mind on You, on the Word of God, so that we see better days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to go back to the beginning here with me, because it's very, very powerful as we read not only the Word of God, but the words that are contained within the book, the Word of God. And it says here, you and I there in verse number 3, watch it, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Well, right away, just reading from our Bible, God wants us to be a good soldier. And we can't talk about all that comes with that, but we will say a few things in a moment. Look at verse number 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him," that would be God, that would be the Lord, "that he may please him who hath," now set the next word there, "chosen." Look up here. I was glad, I've got it up here and don't have time to go through it. I was glad when I went to Dallas and enlisted. I'm glad that I went and served my country. I'm very proud of that. I'm more proud that I actually did make it back, amen. But some did not. But I want you to know, while I was in there, and hear me now, while I was in Vietnam, I thought I was a saved man. I thought I knew the Lord as my Savior, but I found out later when I got home that I did not know. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me really well. Hear me really well. Had I had died in Vietnam, and there were times where it was close, had I had died in Vietnam, I'd be in hell today. Is everybody listening to this guy? If I'd have died in Vietnam, I would be in hell today. But I got back. God put me in an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church. My preachers stand up and preach that hell's hot and heaven's a place to go. And I listen. And finally, most of you that are in this church know it. Finally, on that Wednesday night, I got born again in my preacher's office. Hello. And I've never, ever, ever doubted it again. So if I die, and by the way, it's appointed unto man once to die. All of us are going to die sooner or later. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, there's a judgment. I don't know about you, but heaven looks good. It looks good to me. The older I get, the better it looks. Amen? We're chosen. That's what gets me here. You and I have been chosen to be a spokesperson for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll need not turn until I actually tell you to, but in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15, the Bible said, "But the Lord said unto him," and the Lord was speaking about Ananias at that time, "the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he," Saul, who later become the Apostle Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Now I'm going to throw some things in here for you and I. How many of you are saved? Say amen.
Amen.
You know we have that same responsibility, our same responsibility to bear His name, to tell people about Christ, to tell people how they can get saved, to tell people how they can go to heaven. It's not all about us. It's about others who don't have what us have, amen. First Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9 says it, but you are a chosen generation. Think about that. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am so glad to be saved this morning. I don't ever have to doubt it again. If I die standing in this pulpit, I'm in heaven immediately. To be absent from the body, help me finish it, is to be. So in other words, if I died up here today, and by the way, a good friend of mine there in Dallas, up preaching one time, came to the right. I don't know if I ought to do that or not. But he came to the right of the pulpit, went to point at his congregation, fell out over the platform, onto the floor, and died right there. Thought he was preaching. By the way, you may not be preaching, but you're here. If you walk out of here today without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter. Because listen to me, you'll never be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you have been saved, born again, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Now take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy. All the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, you follow it through, you'll find Deuteronomy. I don't know what Bible you got, if you was in my Bible. There's a page number. I can give it to you in just a minute when I get there. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, which is on page 241 in my Bible. So if you can't find it right away, look for page 241. Maybe it'll line up there for you. Listen, Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse number 6. Watch this now. I'm going to read several verses real quickly. For thou art an holy people, God speaking to the children of Israel. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath, watch it, chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number. Israel's never been more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord, what's that next word? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. This is nothing new with God. God loved us before we ever put man on earth. And God loved us. Listen, he's loving us today. He wants us to be his children. But the Lord loved you. And look at verse 8. But the Lord, because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the land or hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse number 9. Know ye therefore the Lord thy God? He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with him. In other words, God's promises are yea and are amen. He will never go back on his promises. That love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Verse 10. And repayeth them that hate him. Don't you forget that. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore, talking about the children of God, keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. You and I are commanded to keep the commandments of God. Not just the Ten Commandments, but every word that he has given to us in this great book called the Word of God for you and I to live by. Now, having said that, in our generation, you and I are chosen to be soul winners. The Bible says in John 15, verse 16, this, for he hath not chosen me, but I have chosen you, Jesus said. And I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I ask God the Father for a lot of things. But you don't think for one minute that if you're not saved, you're going to get it. But if you get saved, be careful, because if you're not living right, you still might not give it. Kind of like when you stop tithing or you stop. Are y'all with me here? They got quiet already right there. Just had to mention one word, tithing. It got quiet. By the way, I love to tithe. Because I know you can't outgive God. You said, well, you're just a preacher. No, I'm a man. Man who was saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, given a life to live for God, and God called me to preach, and I'm happy about that, still happy about that. Old now, I forget a lot of things, so if I get kind of troubled in the messages, say, Lord, help him. Yeah, how many of you old people out here know what I'm talking about? Amen. Yeah, you do. Look at all them hands go up. I should have been taking an offering right here and see how many of them go up, but it didn't. Anyways. But we began by saying we were chosen to be a good soldier, a top soldier, if you will, in accomplishing the thing which we have been commanded. And you and I, as soldiers of the cross, are to fight the good fight of faith. You can find that later in 1 Timothy chapter 6, towards the end of the chapter, if you will. Good. Listen to me. A good fight of faith. Why is it good? It's good because of our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost on your side? I mean, my goodness, folks, that can outdo any communistic threat that we can ever have. But you better have it. Now listen to me carefully here. Not only good because of our commander-in-chief, but it's good because of our crest. What is our crest? It's the cross. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the crest that we identify by. And that crest, I just wrote this in, is a design used to identify a family or an organization back in the days of Israel and the children of Israel. And that's the cross in our day. Good because of the choice of our weapon. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look down, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse number 10. Most of this is very familiar to you, but if not, underline it, mark it, go back and read it over again. Look at verse number 10, Ephesians chapter 6. It says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, isn't that good? We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now watch now, it gets even better here. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. By the way, you want to stand in this evil day, what may lie in front of us, get saved, get right with God, live for God, be in the church that His Son bled and died for, give your tithes and offerings, obey God, win people to Christ, and I promise you that God will get on your side. We need God on our side from this day forward, believe me. Well, anyhow, I got excited there for a moment. Is that okay? And then notice it says here, let's just go back down here a little bit farther. And it says in verse number 14, and therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith. That's how we live. That's how we got saved. That's how we're going to make it, by faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Finch, how many of the fiery darts? All of them. And take the helmet of salvation. There it is. Look up here. We started with that. We're going to just kind of stop here for a moment. When I talk about being overseas and in war over there and not even thinking about much of anything, I thought I saved all along that time. And I am so glad God was gracious enough to get me back, straighten me out, and let me get saved in that church there in Grand Prairie, my Trinity Baptist Church there. And some of you sitting here this morning, and you do not know Christ. And you say, well, I don't need Him. Yeah, you need Him. Well, I don't believe in heaven and hell. You don't believe in hell? You will one minute second after you arrive there. And the thing about it is you can't get out once you're there. And you'll be tormented day and night. Bible tells us that. And the thing about it is, well, when you hit the fire, when you burn up, according to my Bible, you're going to be in there forever and ever and ever. Well, I don't believe that. You will. Well, I got a life to live, not very long. Most of us are 9, all 70, 80. Some people live a little bit longer than that and so forth. But you know what? Whether I live to be, how old are you, son? Whether I live to be 14, which ain't going to happen anymore. You don't have to laugh about it. Yeah, there, you that sad look on your face. Old people. How old are you? And the thing about it is, I could ask some of these old people and we'd get higher numbers that none of us could understand. But wouldn't you like to walk out of here just knowing? Just knowing that you know. And by the way, the only way we're going to fight the fights in this land is to fight the fight of God by faith, live for Him, honor Him, hear me now, and then God will do. God is not going to be outdone. Amen. And the reason our nation's in the trouble it's in today, listen to me, is because we've dropped God along the way, if you will. Well, I haven't. Well, a few haven't, no doubt. But so many have. And you know, that's what's happening to us. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews these words, it said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, hear me now, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, God's reading your heart right now. He's reading your heart right now. And by the way, if you've got anything in you all, in you at all, you are too. Well, you know what? I don't know if I'm saved. You know what? If I didn't know, well, I'd be embarrassed if I didn't know and I went forward. No, no, no. I'd rather be embarrassed than in hell.
Amen.
And I got news for you. There's enough people in here, including me, my wife, and several of the people that work here, that would come down and just take a Bible and show you how you can know.
Amen.
You need that more than we need the next president of the United States.
Amen.
Because that's what your future lies in right there. And I'm telling you right now, it could get rougher. It could get better for a while. I don't know what lies ahead, but I do know what lies ahead in eternity, and I want to be ready for that when it comes. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm hurrying. The battle is raging. Be reminded that Satan is still recruiting the lost. He wants the lost. He wants them to never get saved. If you're here this morning, you don't know that you're saved. He wants you to walk out of here unsaved. He wants you to walk out of here not knowing. He'll confuse your mind. It won't become important. And yet God is speaking even as I'm preaching right now to some of you that need the Lord. And you need to come in just a little bit. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny that Satan is all over this world. Satan is still on his front lines with all of what we would call his imps. He's recruiting people. He's recruiting souls to step up on the front lines of evil, wickedness, and denying God. Look up here. If you haven't seen that in the streets of our United States of America in the last several months, you're blind. And I got news for you. In a way, God forgive, don't get mad at me, but in a way, it may be God's grace extended. Because I promise you, if President Trump wins or gets in, whether he does or doesn't, it's kind of right there right now. But here's the thing. If he was to become the President of the United States, you talk about riots. You talk about pride. You can ask my wife how many years I've been talking about another civil war in this country. And not between black and white, just between most of it politically. Some of you know that better than I do. But I believe today that there are many of God's people that are still in the fight for righteousness. Those who eschew evil, if you will, like patriots of old, and they deny Satan and sin and wickedness in high places. They're on the front lines, if you will, in the trenches of faith. And I'm going to preach on that. You say, well, you've already been preaching. Shut up. Well, I'm going to when I'm through. Amen. Remember the signs that were posted in mail centers years ago? And you walk up to it and it says, I want you. Y'all remember that? You seen one anywhere lately? I remember as a little kid in Dallas, Daddy would take us over there to get a haircut once every summer. It's gone. And it was like 25, 50 cents, so he'd carry us over there to the barber school, and the barber guys don't know what they're doing. Anybody can skin a head, amen. But I remember walking over there, and it'd be these guys down there with these wooden deals on their back and on their front. And it's got a picture of Uncle Sam, and by the way, most people don't even know who Uncle Sam looks like anymore on pictures like that. But it happened. How many of you remember signs like that? Where are they at anymore? Used to be on our post office. Where is it at anymore? And the thing about it is that God is looking for a few men. And He's got a whole book. He don't need a sign out there somewhere. He's got a whole book for you and I to understand that God's looking for recruits as well. And He wants us to be involved in what He's doing. And by the way, when we get back to that, it's when God will heal our nation. How is your involvement in the work of God? Being as I'm a preacher, an old Baptist preacher, I got to throw it in one more time. How's your tithes and offerings? How's your faith promise missions going? How's your soul winning? How's your faithfulness to show up for your church organizational soul winning and other programs in your church when you're supposed to? I always liked to teach years ago that be on time every time. I'd rather be 30 minutes early than 1 minute late. We need those things in our nation today, and certainly need it in our jobs and in our church. But how is your faithfulness to serve wherever, whenever, and however you can? That's what's needed today. Now listen to me. Frontliners are always on the front lines. And that was the title of my message, Frontliners. front line, if you will, always on the front lines, in their foxholes of battle, if you will, not aligned with the world or the affairs of this life, good or bad, that would direct their hearts and their minds and their motives of service away from the fight of faith, but instead to, if you will, give us that that spirit of charging hell with a bucket of ice water, if you will. One, listen to me, Satan is trying to distract all of God's people that are saved and bring them off the front lines of battle. I think that's what happened these past few months. We can get up and talk about a lot of things, but some, it looks to me like with record voting for the President of the United States, and what we would call the righteous trail, if you will, didn't come out on top. But I'm not so sure that that trail that we didn't come out right on top was a trail that even God didn't want us to follow. It's one thing to have a president. I don't want to start naming presidents because I would be here forever. But the thing about it is that whether it was Trump or whether it was Biden, or if we can go all the way back to the days of Ronald Reagan, a good man, and so forth, it doesn't matter. If God's not in the ballpark, if God's not in the picture, it don't matter who's president of this United States of America. And that's where we are. Again, be back tonight and we'll help you a little bit more with that. Abraham stepped out on the front line of faith in the direction that God had for his life. Abraham, you'll recall the Bible said in Hebrews, he declares this truth. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. He just stepped out on faith. God said to Abraham, I need you to be the leader of the nation of Israel. I want you to come out. And he just stepped out on faith. But he didn't stay there. He didn't ask God anything. He just stepped out. And thank God we got people that do that even today. But years later, he came. Listen to me. He came to a place in his life where he went down into Egypt. You remember the story? Went down into Egypt, got away from God, got away from the trail God put him on. And many of us get there. He come off the front lines. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me well. That's what's happening even in our local churches. Not everybody. Thank God there's always the faithful and those that are there all the time. And those you can count on. And those who do tithe. Those who do give the world missions. Those that do care about souls. Those who care about each other. And this is a church that does that for the most part. But it just takes a handful to not do it. And I don't know about you. I would not want to be that handful that was not a part of it. When we know that God's blessings is on the church, I don't want to do anything to hinder my church back home. And I'm sure you don't want to have anything here that you do that would hinder your church here because of your life. Frontliners, always on the front lines, if you will, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the front line. Amen? Now, when I think about that, I think of others. We don't have time to go to them. But, you know, is there enough bus workers today, enough teachers? Is there enough fighters, if you will, for the faith? Where are the chosen soldiers of Jesus Christ today? Are you one? Are you in the midst of the fight? Are we concerned about the lost souls in this world? In our city, if you will. In our own biological families. On our jobs. In our schools. And hear me now. Don't always tend to rise up with criticism that it's all about leadership either. It's also about fellowship. What do you mean, preacher? He said, listen, when you know what to do and your preacher puts it out there, it ought not be that everything has to come from here. It ought to come from here. And you ought to be a part of that as you serve the Lord. So be careful how you rise in criticism about others, if you will. By the way, I don't know, think about it for a moment, the harvest truly is plenty. Jesus said the harvest is truly as plenteous, but the laborers are few. I don't think it's a problem with Jesus' leadership. Hello? It's a problem with fellowship. A good soldier will always obey his commanding officer and the orders that are given. How are we doing with that? God has chosen us to be good, faithful soldiers of the cross. We have to respond to that. How are you responding? Frontliners are always on the front line, in the foxholes of battle, not aligned with the world or the affairs of this life, good or bad, but align with God as we go forward fighting the good fight of faith. You know, in our land today, our land is turned upside down, morally speaking. It's turned upside down, politically speaking. It's turned upside down in so many ways. And the only way out of it, listen to me, is through individuals like you and I. I can't speak to anyone else here today because they're not here. You're here. I can't speak to your children or your family, if you will, but you can. You can take the gospel. You can take the fact that God wants them to be saved and God wants to choose them to be a part of the work of God. And by the way, that's the only way out of all of this is if we align with God on the front lines, if you will. Hear me. Frontliners, listen to me. Of soldiers of Christ, those who choose to obey the commander-in-chief and all of his orders. I remember going into the military years ago, and I went through Lackland out here, of course, with Air Force, and got out there, and, you know, I guess I must have had that smart aleck look on my face, which was pretty common with teenagers back then. And so I went out there and lined up. You know, you get to, you know, boot camp. You guys know this. You got to stand on them little steps, you know, where they already painted them on the ground for you. You know, they tell you when to eat, and they walk in and say, all right, we're done. You know, if your drill instructor or whatever you called him back then decided that he wanted to finish breakfast early, you finished breakfast early. In other words, you were told what to do, when to do, how to do. Y'all listen? And if you complained, you paid the price. That's what we're doing today. We're paying the price. Because we've been given a whole book of the commander's orders. How faithful are we to them? How obedient are we to them? Are we there where we need to be that God would be pleased with the soldier that he has chosen? Well, when I was there, as that smart aleck looked, I remember them walking by me, and Knopfslinger was my sergeant. What a name. He told us right away that we couldn't tell certain jokes, like Polak jokes. But anyhow, Knopfslinger, he comes over and he looks me right in the eye, man. I'm sitting there, and of course I'm a rebel anyway, so at that time, and I'm just looking right back at him. He said, you will be the dorm guy in charge of the dorm for the whole time you're here. You are responsible for all these other men. I'm thinking, oh, look at this. I hadn't been here a couple hours. I'm already in charge of the dormitory there. Amen. But every time one of them got in trouble, guess who got in trouble? And I could not touch them. Back then, I could use a few choice words because I wasn't saved, and nobody told me I couldn't. But I had to stand in place for somebody else. Look up here. That's what the song was about earlier. Jesus Christ stood in a place that you couldn't stand. He went to a cross that you couldn't go to except through Him. He is still our commander-in-chief today. I don't know about you, but I want to step up. I want to be on the front lines from now until this thing's over with. I want to be obeying the Word of God in every area. I want to be not only a chosen soldier, but a faithful chosen soldier. One who is on the front lines of battle. Not one that's decided to go AWOL. And if you don't know what AWOL means, back when I was in, it was absent without leave. You had no reason to be going anywhere except where they told you to go. And if you go any other direction, then you're a draft dodger or you're absent without leave. And ladies and gentlemen, one thing I hated back during that time of the Vietnam War was how many people turned and decided to go to Canada and everywhere else. Isn't it amazing most of them came back because there's money in the United States? Amen. And the thing about it is we got a lot of Christians going that direction. They become AWOL. They're not where they need to be. They need to be on the front line. And by the way, a true frontliner will be one that God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So listen to me today. If we're not a frontliner, we'll become what I call a flatliner. And a flatliner is one, listen, a person that flatlines, there's a time period that reveals no activity on a person's heart. And many times death, of course, is the final result of that all. or what others call an electroencephalogram. I had to look that one up. And hear me well, electroencephalogram just means that you get to that point where nothing else matters. You're a goner. It's over with. It's over with. And the thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be over with. I want to be used of God. I want God to use me to the best of His ability and mine as I serve Him. When I was in the service, I wanted to be top soldier. I had no doubt that I was going to win some awards while I was in there. I wanted to be top soldier. I wanted my aircraft to be the best aircraft. I wanted my pilots to be the best pilots taken care of. C-130 aircraft when I was stateside, even in the European theater for a while. And then they sent me over on that little toy airplane, I called it. It's about four sizes smaller than a C-130 and put me on that. But you know what? I took all of it seriously. There were lives in that airplane that would take off every day and go across the waters or go up into low-flying battlefields, if you will, of the enemy. And I wanted to make sure my airplane and my pilots were well taken care of. Should we not want that in the work of the Lord and for our Lord and for each other and for our country? Because it's not going to get back to where it needs to be unless we are on those front lines. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," one day. And if you become a flatliner, Christian, look up here. You can't lose your salvation if you're saved. But you can die. You can either die to self and serve Him, or you can die to Him and serve yourself. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of Christians are today. I'm afraid we have grown so distant from the Lord that we need to be reconnected in the best way and the best time we can. Then there's another thing here, and I'm done. There are those who are definitely not frontliners anymore. They're not up front. They're not involved. They're not faithful. They're not serving. They're not getting people saved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because they're what I call false liners. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, verse 21 through 23, and try to bring it to a close. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Wow, that's strong right there. Go down to verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that..." What's that next word there? "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils?" By the way, this talks of another crowd. "And in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Look up here. I am so glad that God brought conviction into my heart during that period of time where I just told you about getting saved earlier. Truth is truth. Calvary is Calvary. Jesus Christ is real. The blood He shed is for the entire world. It don't matter what color you are, what background, what country you came from, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you have it? If you don't have eternal life, you can't be what He wants you to be. And then even when you get saved and you become a child of God, you've got to grow in the things of God, be taught the things of God, go to church on a regular basis so you can be taught. Those things are necessary for you and I to be where we need to be. And look up here. If you don't have it in the days, weeks, months ahead, you're in trouble, my friend. You're letting Satan have a stronghold. And many Christians will start leaving their seats. And they'll start blending in. By the way, Socialism will offer you a lot of things up front, and when you get comfortable, they'll take it away from you. Mark it down. Mark it down. So, are you a frontliner? Are you on the front lines? Are you in the foxhole with the Holy Ghost of God, with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father, with others that are out there serving God? Or are you a flatliner, just about to give it up and your heart stopped? Remember being in the room when my daddy died. Began to choke on his own fluid, and he got to a point where they had to shut these things off. I remember when everything went dead in that room. Out in Palo Pinto Hospital, west of Fort Worth. Never forget it. Never forget his face as I watched him choke on his own fluid, and his eyes began to bug out in his face. And all. Never forget it. But my daddy was born again. My daddy's in heaven today. One day I'll get to see him again, and I believe he's up there shouting amen this morning. So, are you a frontliner? Are you a flatliner? Or I threw another one in here. Are you a faultliner? And Christian, listen to me. If you're not where you need to be, that's a fault. If we confess our sin, however, He is faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, I got to get saved all over. No, you just get cleaned up. You get right with God. And the same blood you got saved by is the same blood that cleanses you from your daily sin. That doesn't give you an opportunity to sin every day and get it right. No, you ought to live for God, live righteously, live holy life. But sometimes we do mess up. I mentioned only Abraham earlier, but you can think of David who messed up. And yet he became a man after God's own heart after he confessed his sins. Aren't you glad we have a God that loves us that much? I mean, there were times where I'm just surprised that Jeremy and Shaw and Shane still living today. Because if it hadn't been for their mother, I probably would have killed them back when they were teenagers. You say, oh, no, not our preacher. You got time? You got money? I'll share it. We'll write it down and put a book out in the foyer out here. Amen. Wonder what y'all could write about me or you. Wonder what he could write about us this morning. And then can I say this? You may just be a false liner. You may just be like me, sitting in church, unsaved. I'm here today. I gave you my testimony. Some of you have heard it before, but hear me. Look up here. I'll stick around till dark 30 to take the Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know you're saved. And it don't matter whether you're a veteran of the United States Armed Services. It don't matter where your background comes from. It don't matter how good you think you are. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible said. There's none righteous. All of our goodness, all of our righteousness comes through a person named Jesus Christ. The one who took our place on an old rugged cross. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And I'm afraid we're getting close. Don't let that be said of us. Don't let it be said of your own life. Think about it in closing. Just sit there a minute and think about it in your own heart and life. While you're praying there and thinking, I want you to listen to me real quickly. There was a soldier who had gone off to Vietnam. He was in the Marine Corps. He had run from God. His daddy was a Southern Baptist preacher in Oklahoma. And that man decided just to rebel against family, and he joined the military, even though mom and dad didn't want him to at that time. And he went off to Vietnam, went off to Vietnam, and while he was there, he was such a gung-ho guy, and what he did is asked his sergeant if he could take lead. You may have heard this story. He said, sure, go ahead. So that young man took lead as they were going through the jungle, and he hadn't gone 20, 30 yards, and he hit a landmine. He blew off his leg. On one leg, blew it right, and he had to have it cut off above his knee, the other just below his knee. He set running records in running and track and stuff in Oklahoma. He decided to do what he wanted to do instead of what his dad wanted to do and what God wanted him to do at that time. He preached a message years ago, several decades ago now. He said, you know, I got what I wanted, but I lost what I had. He got his own way about it, but he lost his legs. To this day, he's in a wheelchair with nubs. To this day, that man, listen to me, has to look back on what he could have been, should have been, but because of the rebellion in his life and heart and not willing to make that turnaround, he lost all that. You say, what's he doing today? Serving the Lord today. But look what he had to lose to serve the Lord. Look what he had to go through to serve the Lord. When he could have saved himself from all of that and just gave his life to the Lord before. Understand this. Understand this. Don't become the man that I'm talking about. His name was Tim Lee. And Tim Lee today, even though much older now, is still in that wheelchair. Look here, he preached from this platform right here years ago. Years and years ago. Preached in our home church in Grand Prairie years and years ago. But you know, his family didn't follow. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't serve God faithfully and on the front line and stay on the front line, no matter how tough it gets, fighting the good fight of faith, we're going to affect others around us, family included. We need to be as close to God as we can be.